We're ready to go here, huh? Let's see if I remember how to do this.
Okay.
It's been a while. You want us to count down? Remember when we used to count down?
And five, and four.
And I lose track.
I hear I can do it. Three, two, you know what to do.
Oh, was that it? That was it. Damn. I didn't even realize. I thought that was the thing. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to this, the 50 millionth podcast of the Kayak Mainline. My name is Kelly Blades, and as always is...
David Johnston.
Working on those pipes like a champ, my friend.
I need to hire like an external announcer.
You need a stuntman is what you need. Because, I mean, I know it's difficult for you to hit those lower notes. So if you had a guy who would take the hit for you, that'd be perfect.
Yeah, it would be good.
What have you been up to, David? It's been a while. It's been literally, 15 years?
It's something like that. It's a bit of a reunion tour. Yeah.
Yeah. The last time we recorded, I had an afro from the 70s. It was beautiful. They called me Black Lightning. Yeah. And I was kind of a superhero around here.
Yeah, I could see that. Yeah, no, we're on this, to keep podcasts really popular, we're on the every 6 month schedule, you know, so it stays, we don't want it to go stale.
No, has it been 6 months?
March?
Because honestly, I think it honestly feels longer. It feels longer than 6 months. But you know what? We have an adoring fan out there, I'm sure, who has been waiting anxiously for us to record. And for you, the one patient soul who's been waiting, this is for you. And you know who you are.
Welcome to episode 13.
Is it episode lucky 13? Yep. Are you a superstitious man, my friend?
In theory, no.
In practice?
Yes.
Are you really?
No.
No. Okay. Because I kind of feel I used to be superstitious, and then I realized I was just a little OCD.
I think they're kind of in the same category in many ways.
Yeah. Yeah.
What were you superstitious about?
Well, I had a lot of weird stuff that I would do OCD-wise, but I had this thing. I would be driving across our great country of the United States, not to be confused with your great country of Canada, but our great country of the United States. And for some reason, I got it in my head that if I listened to Offspring on my iPad while I was driving, I would get into a traffic jam. So I would have it on random, and when an Offspring song would come up, I'd just flip right past it, even though I loved Offspring at the time. Right. I would not listen to Offspring. And then every once in a while now I'll be driving along and I listen to podcasts. I listen to books and things like that now while I'm driving. But every now and again, I just want to, have a good cry and sing. Mm. So by myself, I'll be driving and I'll hear an Offspring song and I still like reach for the iPhone to switch it before I go, wait a minute, I've been OCD. So yeah, that's where I
get it. There's lots of other people who reach for the iPod for Offspring, but for very different reasons.
Very different reasons. Yeah. Yes, it is. It is apparently not a very popular band anymore.
It's a true tragedy.
Well, it's a dog eat dog to get by. I don't even remember some of the words on that one, but it was good.
What audiobooks are you listening to these days?
Oh, criminally, I am listening to a book by Scott Sigler, The Champion. And guys, if you get a chance, if you like science fiction, which I do, if I try to explain the book, it's just going to sound like a disjointed mess. I realize that, but it's a good book. It's actually the last or is his last in a series of books about the Galactic Football League. Now, I used to like football. Kind of strayed away from it, got into kayaking, other, independent sports and things like that. And I really lost focus on football. And this guy is actually a Michigan artist. And he wrote a myriad of books, but the GFL League series focuses on this team of players. And it's set in the future, like 700 years in the future, where we've discovered all these different alien races. And the way they come together is by playing football.
Really?
It sounds ridiculous. I get it. But man, is he a good author. He tells a good story. And here's the best part. He actually played football in high school.
Okay.
And his dad actually was a football coach, from what I understand, in reading a little bit about him. And he has openly said that he would have gone into college football had he not only been 145 pounds and not much athletic ability. when you listen to the story, it's a good sci-fi story. When you listen to the football, though, it's as if you're listening to the commentary on a game, on a proper game. Yeah, so it's really interesting. So I find myself now watching more football because of my man Scott Sigler. Nice. So, and I don't know the guy. I mean, I tweeted to him once. He tweeted back. Really? That's about as far as I know him. But, really good author, so I highly recommend it.
Wow. Nice.
Yeah, what about you? What have you been doing?
Books-wise?
Yeah.
Before we actually get into paddling stuff, I just finished listening to the audiobook
for
the new...
I honestly don't think we're going to get into paddling stuff. We're just gonna
chat. Stephen King book that just came out called The Revival. Ooh.
The Revival, is it good?
It was pretty good. I mean, it's kind of – Stephen King either writes – generally, I don't mind his stuff, because it's easy to listen to. You don't really have to pay attention. Like, it's easy to digest from an audiobook perspective. But he tends to write either stuff that's kind of really creepy and scary or kind of autobiography, like Stand By Me is a great example.
Yeah.
Or in his short story, The Body.
Right.
And so – and they've got a weird twist to it, but it's kind of like – so this one's kind of the same thing. It's someone telling his life story where he keeps banging into as he grows up from a little kid to an old person. He keeps banging into this guy who at one point was his minister and then comes back. He bangs into him. He's like a guy, like a carny guy selling stuff. It all has to do with this other guy's fascination with lightning and the supernatural. And it's kind of an interesting story, but it had kind of a weird twist at the end. But, it's Stephen King, okay, so what's to expect?
I will read a Stephen King book, so don't tell me how it ends.
No.
But, I got this issue with Stephen King. Stephen King to me is, and I love horror. Stephen King to me is the horror fiction writing equivalent of Brad Pitt.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So Brad Pitt is that guy you look at, especially as a male, and you go, he's good looking. I hate him. I don't like the fact that every woman on the planet finds him, even lesbians find him slightly attractive. Right. he's just that good. And then when you watch him act, you're like, he's good.
Yeah.
He's really, really good at this. Stephen King is sort of that, in my opinion, the lowest common denominator of horror writer, and yet he's really good.
Yeah. And that's the thing. Everybody, even myself, I'm just like, all right, well, I'll slum it and listen to one of his books. And then I get halfway through it and I think, all right, I'm not going to quit. So I keep going.
Yeah.
I mean, I think the thing is he's got some great ones and then he's got some really mediocre ones. The two that I really like, certainly I never liked his, what's the Tower series?
Oh, I hate the Dark Tower. I was going to bring that up.
I couldn't get into any of those. I thought,
no.
I need to get into the first one, and I got a third of the way through and I bailed on it. It was stupid.
See, I finished the entire book and I, at the end, here's what you're missing. Oh, and by the way, there's more books, so read those. So it was just him building some sort of royalty pipeline. I think I did not like it. I didn't get it. I don't understand it. I tried to dig in deep. Couldn't do it.
Yeah, but what's the one that's the super the Stand? That book is awesome.
Yeah, the book was awesome, and of course Molly Ringwald's in the movie, made for TV movie. So you can't go wrong with it. And Gary Sinise is in that.
Yeah, they're doing a remake of it.
Again, yes, of course.
I think Amazon has picked it up.
Because he wants to buy a new house on Long Island, I'm sure. Yeah. So, no, I mean it's really, that was one of those stories that you listen to and you're always sort of on the verge of going, this is ridiculous, I can't listen to it, and yet you're fascinated all the way through. But we'll move on to that. What else has been in your life aside from reading?
Paddling.
Been out paddling?
Yeah, okay. We have. This fall I did a ton of paddling, more than I typically do in the fall. So my paddling buddy Eric, he with the Toronto school here in Toronto called Harbourfront Canoe and Kayak Center. Mm-hmm. He organized a fall value package is what it's called, in which case students who are kind of intermediate level, they could sign up for 6 paddling days and over the fall. So for people who want to kind of push the go do some trips, day trips and that type of stuff with some loosely scheduled instruction, could organize it. Yeah. So it was pretty cool. So I helped out with about 2/3 of them. And
nice.
Yeah, so it's the way that he had it set up, Eric organized, I think, 8 days, but people paid for 6 of them. So then kind of depending on your flexibility and that type of stuff, you could come out as you need to.
And of course you guys got to go out and paddle, which does not suck.
Well, we needed to round up people so that we could go out. That's really, that's,
right.
Know. So yeah, yep. So we did some surfing. We just did some paddling around. We did a lot of gossiping. Had a good time.
That's about it.
And then I was out this weekend. Now that that program's done, we're out paddling for ourselves. So we were out playing around doing some rough water paddling this past Sunday. So
sweet.
Yeah. How about yourself? What have you been doing?
You know, I haven't been much in a boat since the Gales storm gathering. The Gales was pretty fun this year. First time I'd been up there. It was in Munising, Michigan. And I think they got the right kind of conditions for what they wanted. It was a lot of fun. I only taught 2 out of the 3 days. They had quite a few coaches. And honestly, the Saturday that I took off, I hung out with Jeremy Vore and we had a good time, you know, just kind of wandered around exploring, which is, you know, one of those things that we should all think about as kayakers when we're out paddling on these long weekends. Sometimes it's fun to take in the scenery. So we went to some falls, you know, deep in the woods, and you know, he took me for a walk down the tracks, and we saw a dead body. Oh, no, that's okay.
You went swimming, yeah, got leeches down your pants.
Exactly. It was terrible. And then I had to pull a gun on Kiefer Sutherland. Oh, it was terrible.
Oh, love that guy.
So, yeah, we had a good time and got out and do a little bit of surfing. The people I worked with were pretty darn cool. There was no one at this entire event who was a free cammer. So everybody came out to play. Everybody came out to you know, do what they came out to do. No one was crying over the conditions.
What were the conditions like?
You know, 2 to 4, 2 to 5, but it always threatened to be a little bit bigger. But I think the people that we had there, that created the right teaching environment. So I'm sure all of them could have handled bigger, but to be able to teach, that was probably where we wanted to be.
Right.
I know for my guys, it was, you know, we went out and did rescues and, in some of the bumpy stuff up near rocks and they were very appreciative of the stuff that we did. And of course I had a good time. So
that's great.
Yeah. And then you know what I did?
Yeah.
I ran a half marathon.
Oh, I heard you did. How'd that go?
It turns out that's a long way.
Wow. I could have told you that.
Yeah, 13.1 miles, and it was in Las Vegas. I did the rock and roll marathon out there, and it was in Las Vegas. So the cool part about it, other than having to run a great deal, was that we got to run. We started, I always screw up the directions in Vegas, but we started north of the iconic Welcome to Las Vegas sign, ran south, ran around it, and we went all the way down to Fremont Street, which is the old section of Vegas, ran through Fremont Street and back down. So I ran the entire strip of Las Vegas.
That's pretty
is pretty darn cool. Now, we were talking about this before the show started tonight, and the opening act, Macklemore.
Really?
Yeah, and I wasn't really hip to Macklemore before. I'd heard, you know, Thrift Shop and whatnot in the background of my life, but I really wasn't familiar with it. And I got out there, and my friend Jim Tiernan, who is on a different fire department, he was all excited about Macklemore, and I'm like, yeah, whatever. It's because Snoop Dogg was supposed to open.
Oh, okay.
And I was so stoked about Snoop Dogg. And I heard about this Macklemore character and was completely blown away by how good he was.
Wow.
So he and Ryan Lewis were great. It was an outdoor thing. It was probably, you know, 60 degrees in Vegas, outdoor venue, totally free concert for people who were running the marathon. So it was a good, hour and a half set.
Yeah.
And yeah, just a great time.
That's cool.
Yeah. And then it turns out, like I said, it was a long way. The guy I was with out there, he ran the full marathon. Mm-hmm. So he's a beast. And 13 is just about where I want to be.
Yeah. I'm thinking about 13 blocks and I'd be done.
Yeah. I'm winded after a few feet, honestly. But I, you know, I toughed it out. But it was a very interesting race in the fact that there were 43,000 people, from what I understand. So it was a lot of people. So I bet I ran an extra mile and a half just trying to weave in and out of people to get around them. But yeah, it was totally fun. And then the next day we rented a car and went out to Red Rock and Hoover Dam and did all those things. So
I'd love to see that. I've never been out in that area. I'd love to go.
Yeah, it was pretty brilliant, but no paddling while I was out there because I was in the middle of a desert, you know, running a foot race.
Man.
So
that's
there
awesome.
You go.
Nice.
Yeah. Oh. See what happens when we don't record for a few months. We got to catch up like this, kids. And feel free, by the way, if you have some interesting stories over the summer, if you have, you know, questions about what we do, you can tweet us. Do that tweeting thing at Kayak Mainline, or kayakmainline@gmail.com is our email address. You can ask questions like, how tall and handsome is David?
Very.
How many times has Kelly been incarcerated?
Many.
Many. yeah. So let us know what you think. And I think on to the actual paddling portion of this, the actual meat and potatoes of the Kayak Mainline.
Yeah, we got some news.
It's time for the Kayak Mainline News. Yes, your source for news all over the world, down the street or just outside your door.
You always have news, and I'm so excited. Kids, I have not heard any of these news stories yet.
So let's get to the first guy. Design a life jacket, win $10,000.
What?
Yeah.
So, a life jacket, you say?
Yes. So anyways, okay. there's a contest going on right now by the Personal Flotation Manufacturers Association, a bit of a niche manufacturer association, by the way.
Okay.
And the National Marine Manufacturers Association. So it's funny in the world of associations, when you think, I'd like to start an association, let's get into personal flotation manufacturers.
That's actually one of three things that you think of immediately when you start an association: personal flotation device.
Yeah.
And actually, I believe number one is communism.
I picture, like, you know, when you were in high school and you're trying to think of what job I should do when I grow up.
Yeah.
And the guidance counselor's like, I think Personal Flotation Manufacturers Association for you. But anyways, those guys, so they partnered together, and it's been going on for a couple of years, but they're looking...
Wait a minute. They still haven't figured it. There's 10 grand on the line, and no one... I can guarantee you that Astral has made 15 or 20 PFDs in that time.
Well, they didn't announce who past winners were, so I'm sure it was somebody like that. But they're looking for specifically unconventional designs are encouraged, and you can either set a working prototype or some theoretical design.
Okay, what's yours?
I'm picturing... Give it... vest with spinny propellers right on the shoulders that would keep you at the surface.
Got it.
Constantly driving up.
Okay.
And if heaven forbid you landed on your back, because you'll just be shooting across the water.
Well, it's a swim vest. You have to aggressively want to save yourself.
Yeah.
So, mine?
Yeah.
You ready?
Yeah.
All right. Diaper. Bootsy Collins style. Okay?
Okay. Keep going.
It's got suspenders on it, right?
Okay.
But on the suspenders, it's got a bunch of stretchy neoprene pockets so you can carry everything you need on the suspenders.
Go on.
Yes. Okay. And then on the back,
It's
got sort of like an airbag thing. So if poop hits the fan, you pull a cord and an airbag pops out of the back.
Nice.
You're saved.
Nice.
Yeah. So it's got the 70s, 80s funk element with the Bootsy Collins diaper. It's got suspenders, which who doesn't love a good, comfortable pair of suspenders? It's got pockets galore that you could use or not use. And it's got the flotation kind of thing. So the stand-up paddlers will love it.
That's true. There's a great Get Smart episode that Maxwell Smart uses. He's fighting a bad guy and they end up in the deep end of a pool. And he's choking the other guy, and they're almost going down. And he pulls this in his little suit. He pulls this little ripcord, and this self-inflating duck around his waist. And he comes up to the surface, and it's what saves Maxwell's life, because built into the duck head part, you know, he's stuck in the middle of it, is a built-in gun.
And he shoots him.
Yeah, shoots the chaos agent and saves the day.
Oh, that Maxwell Smart.
Yeah, it's awesome.
That's actually who you model your life after, which is
cool. We grew up watching a lot of Get Smart when we were kids.
So you said something interesting to me. So they haven't announced past winners.
Well, I don't know. I never dug that deep. Hold on. I'm going to look at the website, see if they've got it.
You really don't have to. You can make something up. I mean,
yeah, whatever.
Let's face it. If anybody from the, what do you call this? The Paddle Sports Flotation Association is listening.
Yeah.
You got to get a better marketing guy.
Yeah. So, but they've got,
we're the only people talking about it.
I know. That's why I'm trying to draw attention to this critical contest.
It is.
So there's 1, 2, 3, 4 categories for the judges. Wearability, which I don't even think is a real word, but I'm going to pretend it is.
Is there a swimsuit element?
No, but there is a talent section.
There is a talent section, of course. I'm going to play French horn.
Wearability. So based on comfort, would they likely wear it if it was less bulky or more comfortable?
Then, minority wins, yeah. Right.
Reliability. So that's category two. Does it work every time? Okay, I guess that's important. Potential failures, blah, blah, blah. Cost. What's cost going to be? They're looking for some type around $50 to $60, which
those
I think
cheap bastards. I think,
boy, there's not a good life jacket at that price around anywhere. But and then the last one is innovation. So how creative or original is this solution?
You know what I see on yours?
Yeah,
epaulettes.
Oh, with what are the little dangly things off the side?
Oh, like little fringy things. Yeah. Or are you talking about the braids?
Yeah, the braids. They're
you're right. You're absolutely
something
right.
So that if you spin fast, they balloon out, you know, kind of like a hula skirt.
What I'm seeing is when you pop up out of the water, you're floating so high because of the design of yours that you actually can do the slow-mo thing, whereas you're shaking your head, the epaulette things go really slow motion.
See, that thing would be perfect for the bald people like us.
Uh-huh.
Yep.
It's beautiful. All right. So, moving on. Okay.
So where do you apply? Many people are asking. Are nearly dozen of fans listening to this. Dozen.
Yes.
Boatus.org. So there you go.
Boatus.org.
Yeah, it's not Boat Us, as I assume.
Which, you know, could take you to a very questionable
exactly.
website, Boat Us.
What do we got?
So Boat Us, that actually sounds like a website I have heard of, like West Marine or something like that.
Yeah, it's something like that. It's the Boat Us Foundation.
Okay.
So anyways, I don't know what they do, but I don't really care.
No, I don't either. And you know, for my money, you can't go wrong with an Astral Life Fest. For you people listening at home, do not think that we are condoning a $60 Life Fest. If it works, great.
Yeah.
But yes, if somebody's going for bargain basement, that's not for me on my life jacket.
Yeah.
So,
and that concludes our specifically kayaking related to news pieces. But I got two more here just for fun.
Is that the only one we got that's kayaking related?
There's more.
Oh, of course there is. There's more.
Okay.
Wait, hold on. Okay. Is there any Canadian news?
No.
God bless America. Because
it's USA A-OK.
I have been brushing up on my Rush lyrics and watching every episode of Trailer Park Boys, waiting to be able to record so I can speak to the Canadian nation.
Have you watched the new season that's on the Netflix?
Yeah, it's a lot like every other.
Well, it's more like their first or second season. Their last couple seasons kind of died off a bit, but
yeah, you're right. It's you know, it's all about Ricky having drugs and Bubbles and his cats and you know, Julian with his drink. That's about it. And Mr. Leahy is drunk all the time. See, you thought I was kidding, didn't you?
I
know.
You know,
oh my God. Oh my God, Julian, it's the Sam's Great.
I just love the fact that those guys open a strip club called the Dirty Dancer.
Yes. Because I didn't know until like season three that Julian had this Patrick Swayze thing going.
Yeah.
It just never occurred to me.
It really does. Yeah.
And J-Rock, of course.
Oh, you know, if J-Rock is in the scene, you know it's going to be good.
Yeah.
Like that's just just the benchmark. So.
I just love J-Rock. I love J-Rock, and I love Bubbles. Of course, who doesn't love Bubbles?
Yeah, and his love for cats.
And his, when they find the cougar, it's just... I don't even remember what they name him, but he names the cougar like Peter Marshall or something, you know, something. It's fantastic. Oh,
it's the most successful Canadian show in Canadian history.
Yeah, yeah. And it's funny because I would watch those... At the fire station, inevitably, while I was working with someone who grew up in a trailer park.
Oh,
so it was very funny to get the firsthand knowledge, like them going, "Yep, that happens. Yep, that actually happens. I've seen that. I know three guys like that."
So, oh boy.
Yeah. All anyway, right. I digress. As much Canada as we're going to get tonight.
And that show is definitely not mom approved. So that's the thing.
Oh no,
they would not approve of that show. But so I'm glad I don't live at home. So that I can watch it.
That'd be bad.
All right. Story number two. Here we go.
Yes.
San Francisco has decided to create, and this could only ever happen in San Francisco, and what they're calling an amnesty pond for unwanted goldfish.
I have simultaneously thousands of things going through my head, and yet I'm stymied. So are you suggesting to me that they have a pond to take unwanted goldfish, or maybe goldfish who were disassociated with their family unit, or kids don't want them, whatnot?
It's a step back from that. So there is currently a pond just south of the Golden Gate Bridge called Mountain Lake that they did a study, and there's like no natural fish. It's all just filled with non-native fish. So they evicted them all out, you know. Okay. And now people are so used to dumping their goldfish there, they're actually setting up a separate pond specifically for goldfish dumpers called the Amnesty Pond, so that they don't put them all in the big real pond. Like I said, only San Francisco. I shouldn't laugh because, you know, whatever, but I think it's hysterical.
So I'm assuming that they spent hundreds of thousands, if not millions of dollars.
I believe it was $1.3
million
mm-hmm. I'm
to make
that
a pond. Oh, you are? Okay, fair enough. It's probably twice that, really. Both of us have been to San Francisco, and we know it's an expensive town. So they make a pond for goldfish.
Yeah. So they don't mix with the data.
Yeah. Because it actually writes its own joke. I don't even have to say anything. Absolutely writes its own
joke. So I'm trolling through, and I found this story, and I thought, Kelly would enjoy this.
I do enjoy it, and I simultaneously want to now choke myself with possibly my own entrails, knowing that someone would create a pond for goldfish. Now, in theory, you know, that's like something that when you're sitting around with some kindergartners, right? Mm-hmm. And you say, what do you think would be the coolest thing ever to do to help humanity? Mm. And they say things like, I think that we should give my mommy's brownies to everybody who's hungry. Oh, that's sweet. That's adorable. Oh, you said that. I think we should hug everybody who is feeling sad that day. You are a little charmer. I think we should make a goldfish pond so that all goldfish have a place to go. But you don't do it. You don't make the goldfish pond.
I'm picturing it in my head that the pond, every toilet in San Francisco will redirect to that pond.
Yeah, it's like a filter now. Yeah.
It's an amazing story. So critics are worried that people who are so used to dumping fish in that pond will not see the signs to redirect them to the Amnesty Pond.
Well, sure. That's rough.
Anyways, there we go.
Okay. There you go. Amnesty. So if you got some goldfish, you got some time, you got some frequent flyer miles, take your little goldfish out to the Amnesty Pond right there in San Francisco.
Yeah, because you know a pet store is going to be like, I think that's a money-making opportunity. Let's go there tomorrow night. Yeah. We'll clean the place out and resell it back to these people.
I am certain. I am certain that that has already happened with some nefarious ne'er-do-wells who own some sort of creepy freaking, you know,
like a goldfish recycling shop. Project.
Yeah, or they're feeder fish now for like their big scary barracuda that they keep in a, you know, live trap in their shop. I don't know. Anyway, it just seems like a bad idea.
Yeah.
Oh well.
So there we go. So that's that. But you ready for a history lesson?
Am I ever.
Okay. Did you know that the Navy, US Navy, once tried to design, and they got so far as a prototype, with a nuclear powered wetsuit to keep divers warm?
Do tell.
Yeah.
This changes everything.
Okay, so you know the title and you know the method for keeping them warm. Give me a time frame of when this bad boy went down and was designed.
52.
Go ahead a bit more. It's kind of it, yeah. So it was in the early 60s. So you're close.
Okay. Yeah, that probably concept came out in 52, right? You know, like Korea War-ish, Korean War. Yeah, because that's when they started fiddling with that stuff. So in the 60s, they had a nuclear-powered wetsuit.
I saw the headline and thought, oh, I think we could get something. Yeah, so 1960s. So what happened was the Atomic Energy Commission, they partnered with the Navy to design a nuclear-powered wetsuit. And the idea was they really wanted to show the Navy and the American public that nuclear is super safe. So,
and by the way, it is. For everybody listening, I don't care what you have to say, nuclear power is safe.
Oh, I'm not getting in that argument. But
no, I'm just throwing that out.
I don't know what would be the best use of nuclear, particular, you know, around my stomach. But,
you know, they were, you know, it's like, it's like when they were trying to prove that cigarette smoke wasn't dangerous for you. They were putting it in everything, you know, letting doctors smoke and things like that. It turns out it wasn't the best idea. And maybe you're right. Maybe a nuclear-powered wetsuit was not the way to do it. But I'm sure they were rushing to try to figure out how to make it look like it was safe stuff.
Well, so the thing was, is so they used plutonium-238, which
plutonium?
In the world of plutonium, it's the one that it's the safest or the easiest to shield radiation with. So there's other grades of plutonium that even with a lead line, you know, stuff will still get through. So
say that P word again.
Plutonium.
See, now you can say it.
What did I say before?
You kept stumbling over plutonium.
Plutonium 238. So what they did, so they took they used a kilogram of it and they shoved it in a canister and it radiated heat, and it had a pump that would pump water fluid around this kind of canister, this kind of the shape of like a bullet without the pointy end on it.
Yeah, sweet.
Then it would pump the water like a modern day spacesuit through the wetsuit. So you'd have this warm water circulating and without the need for fuel to heat the water. So the concept was awesome.
That is badass.
Yeah, yeah. Imagine the price point on that, eh?
Oh, well, they had it laying around, you know.
But the problem was is that it wouldn't put out enough heat to keep them warm. So it was a bit of a failure from a pure – like it just didn't work.
So my question is then why didn't they market that to like deer hunters?
Oh, that's true.
Because deer hunters are always trying to keep their hands warm and things like that.
Right.
Nuclear-powered hand warmer for the buck hunter in you.
Yeah, that's true. They could do that.
It makes sense.
But then the problem was, see, that was in the 60s when, at the time, there was a ton of plutonium.
You know what there are also a ton of?
What?
Evil guys buying islands and trying to take over the world.
Like everybody and their brother had a nuclear stockpile.
Like Dr. No. Think about it, man. I mean, you watch Enter the Dragon and it's always one crazy Chinese guy who
loves
had a falling out. Right. Who had a falling out with the Chinese government. Mm. And now he purchased an island and now he's going to do bad things to everybody involved.
Like they really must
shame
have,
on you.
They must have gotten a bulk deal on gray paint, you know, because everybody had like gray walls and, you know, a picture of Chairman Mao or something on this side.
Yeah.
And that was it. So,
and this is in no way indicting the Chinese people.
No.
I'm just saying that, you know, I mean, here in the U.S., we have our David Koresh's. You guys got Dr. No.
Dr. No. That was like the worst movie. At least the worst
book. You think?
I don't know. I couldn't take it seriously. Mm. I don't know if I should take any of them seriously, but
right, it's a James Bond movie. I was recently watching Enter the Dragon, and I got to admit, I watched it like four times, because it just kept going on, and I was so excited about it to show my son, and we sat down, and I'm like, oh, this is Bruce Lee, this is the movie right here, and he watched like 20 minutes of, it. He's like, I don't get it, what's happening here? Mm-hmm. I'm like, get out of here, you.
Yeah, he's too young. Bring him back in a couple of years.
Yeah, he might enjoy it.
What do you think? So anyway, did they ever make a Van Damme, Chuck Norris fight each other movie? We were debating it today at work, and we couldn't.
I don't believe so. The closest they came to, they were both in the same movie, and that was Expendables 2.
Yeah.
And that was very recently, but they didn't actually fight in it. Mm-hmm. A little Van Damme went up against Stallone.
Okay.
Actually, as far as I know, Chuck Norris threw no punches. In that movie, he just shot 50 or 80 people in one sitting.
In Expendables.
In Expendables 2.
Yeah, right.
Right. Which they're coming out with a third. I'm so stoked.
Yeah.
So I don't think he's thrown a punch since Walker, Texas Ranger, as far as I know.
Mm. Oh, Walker. Yeah. Anyways, so back to plutonium. So anyways, it's the night of deviation. So the it problem is now, if we wanted to do it, there's hardly any plutonium out there anymore. So – but they have this plan that in those days, so it uses like a kilogram and it now takes, the U.S. has just started a plan because they need more plutonium for spaceships to build a kilo of it by 2021. It costs $50 million. That's how much it's cost to make that much plutonium. And so, it would make an expensive white suit.
Yeah. I mean, if you look at it, you could either get a kilo of plutonium to power a wetsuit.
Yeah.
And of course we have nuclear subs that can go way deeper
Yep.
Than any keeping warm. Or we could just give it to SpaceX and they could fly to Mars.
Well, actually, you know, if you need plutonium, what you do is you talk to the Libyans, give them a box of old used pinball parts, and they'll set you up.
Just like, is that what they're looking for?
Yeah, just like on Back to the Future.
Oh, Marty. Got it. Okay.
I don't know how they found me.
That was like that was Back to the Future 2 or 3.
Back to the Future Uno Menudo.
No.
Yeah, that's French for one.
That's not true.
Yeah, it was Back to the Future really? 1. Yeah, because they're at Twin Pines Mall at 2 a.m.
Yeah, but I didn't remember the whole parts for the...
Yeah, it's right at the point where the car comes out. Remember all the smoke and everything? And then they're talking.
You know what I'm going to do? My mind, I'm going back in time.
Yeah, because then there's a big car chase around.
See what I did there? I'm going to go back in time.
You're the worst.
I know I am.
Yeah, big car chase that gets Marty in the car, and he takes off, and that's just when the doc gets shot, remember? And then he drives away, and the guy's in the Volkswagen with, of course, they've got a bazooka.
Of course they do.
Yeah.
A lot. I didn't know it was old parts for a pinball machine.
I think it was old parts for a pinball machine, but I'm sure, I guarantee someone will write in and say it wasn't.
You guarantee that?
Well, if it wasn't, they'll tell us.
Oh, my God. They found me. I don't know how, but they found me. Look for it, Marty! Who do you think? The Libyans!
So, all right. So, takeaway on this one, better uses for plutonium than to make a wetsuit, but it's a pretty sweet idea, especially back in the 60s. They were grasping at straws.
Yeah.
And they came up with that. You know what really is, I think is cool is they probably have like other things that we haven't heard about.
Mm. Well, Area 51.
I mean, for sure. Yeah, well. Like
a short-sleeved nuclear-powered wetsuit or a short-sleeved nuclear-powered dry suit.
Right. That would actually work. Dry suit.
Get Kokatat on that pronto.
What have we done? We need to make our life jacket.
Nuclear-powered.
Powered by plutonium.
Yeah.
It keeps you warm as well. We win the 10 grand.
Remember the time you and I had that dream of making a short sleeve, short
dry suit? Dry suit? Yes. Yes, I still have that dream.
Yeah. I still want that. Call it the core.
Yeah. It's like knicker pants.
Yeah.
And short sleeves.
I think we could, I think we should find an old dry suit and hack that bad boy together.
You know, years ago too, I talked to Jeff, who is the sales manager.
Mm-hmm.
And he wrote it down. He wrote it down like he was going to do something about it. And I'm like, you know you're not going to do anything about it. He's like, well, Kelly, stupider things have happened. I mean, we try a ton of stuff. I'm like, well, if you make one, I want one. David Johnson wants one.
Oh, I would wear it with pride.
Yeah. Make a large and an extra large. We'll take them.
Yeah.
Bam. Oh. Done.
Just think how awesome that would look.
So here's the deal, guys. If you're listening to this, if you've come with us this far, write into Kokatat and tell him you want a short sleeve, knickered, panted dry suit.
Yeah. Just picture jean cutoff shorts, but instead
no, I'm going,
it's dry suit.
I'm going longer. I'm going like going to the longer. Knee.
Oh, I was thinking high cut.
That's what knickers are. Do you not
know
what knickers
are? But my vision was a high cut.
Okay. You just like the Daisy Dukes. That's the hazard in you.
The never dude.
Just a good old boy. Yeah. Never mean and no harm. Generally. Anyway, you got another news story for us? You
got else? Let's see what we got. So we talked about Life Jacket. We talked about San Francisco, the hippies.
Open your golden gates.
And we got – so Golden Gate this year is closed.
It is.
It's not happening. It's pretty sad. But there's a couple other events in the area. So there's the Storm Gathering USA, which is the kind of two big events that people should think about going into. So there's two. There's in early March in Trinidad, California, which until this, I didn't even know existed.
Right.
Trinidad, California. That's organized by Mark Tozer, who's putting that together, who runs the Storm Gathering in the UK. And there's also one in New York. New York!
Nice.
Later in September as well.
As in the city, New York?
Yeah.
Okay.
So it's, so that'll be interesting because that's going to run out of there. But it's kind of all the regular coaches have been announced for the March event. Registration's open, so.
Good.
Yeah.
Get out there and do it.
Yeah.
It sounds like fun.
So that's Storm Gathering USA.
Good. That's in March. And then what else? Canucopia is in March. Yeah. I'll be speaking at Canucopia this year. I'm actually doing, this is going to be weird for you.
Yeah.
I've got a PowerPoint presentation.
Really?
Me.
That must have taken, 9 years to put together for you.
Well, actually, I'm still working on it, but it's going to be brilliant. It's about safety and about how we view our training, and are we focusing on the right things, the wrong things, and what are the likelihoods of us running into certain things, and what's the effect? So anyway, it's going to be a pretty good talk. I am quite digging it as well.
That's awesome.
And then Keith.
Keith Weissel?
What's that guy? That guy, yeah. He actually came up with an idea which he's asked me to participate in, and I'm very excited about. And there's a little disagreement, not an angry disagreement, but a disagreement is how we're going to do this. What I would like to do, it's an audience participation improv rescue demonstration.
Whoa, right on.
So the way I see it is, we just have people throwing out, I want to see this rescue. I want to see this rescue. Do it with this. Can you do it with a chair? What if somebody hits you with a chair?
Whoa, that kind of nice. Thing.
Wouldn't that be fun?
That would just be really fun.
It's just a damn free-for-all.
Oh, I'd be all over that.
So. Yeah, that's Canucopia this year. I'm very excited. What else you got? Anything else?
That's it for me for news stories for right now. But I'll keep an eye out for more
fantastic.
Stuff.
That is fantastic.
Yeah.
Cool. I got nothing else. It was really good getting back on the air with you, my friend.
I know.
And we got to do this a little bit more often than every 7 months because that might be a little too long. I don't know. We might have lost a few listeners. At this point,
it's kind of like
to old age. Actually, like they might have died of old age. I think that's it. You got anything?
I got nothing more.
I got nothing more, folks. Thank you so much for sticking with us this time. The 7 month hiatus, we really do appreciate it. In all honesty, David and I have a great time recording this. We have a great time talking, and we have a great time knowing that at least somebody out there is listening. So, you kids, stay safe. I really want to say have a good holiday, a happy time, and we will see you on the other side of the new year in 2015.
Nice.
My name is Kelly Blades, and you are?
And I'm David Johnston.
And we, kids, are the Kayak Mainline. We're out.
You've been listening to the Kayak Mainline Podcast. If you enjoyed what you heard today, please tell a friend or tell five. This shouldn't be a secret just for us. That thing you did with the German Shepherd, the surgical tubing, and the Bananas Foster, that's probably a secret you want to keep to yourself. But the podcast, let's tell everyone. Thanks for listening. The Sea of Heartbreak.